Welcome to the J3 University Podcast. I'm your host, John Jewett.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Miller.
Our mission is to elevate the physique coaching standard
and deliver the highest level of competitors to the stage.
Let's jump into today's episode. Post-show rebound or potentiation phase, which one should you be doing? Should we just be blasting gear all out post-show and harnessing the heavenly anabolic rebound? Should we be coming off everything? Is there a middle ground to be had? This is what Luke and I are diving into today. Luke, how are you doing, man?
Much better. Much better today. Been a rough couple days, but I'm excited for this topic. I think there's a lot of context to be given of like the cases that come across where the rules that get kind of set across the board don't apply to everywhere. And a lot of it starts with taking a good scope into where you're catching someone at the end of prep, because how that prep runs makes a lot of those decisions for you in that post-show phase.
And we're bodybuilders. So every moment of the entire calendar year, like, we want to just be growing nonstop. Right? It's like interim prep, I want to grow into the show. Post-show, I want to grow. Off-season, I want to grow. So it's nonstop just trying to grow. When we know in reality there's going to be phases where that's just not capable to do, especially within naturals, we see that clearly that's not going to be happening. Right. And then also, like, for enhanced, well, you got to have times where you're backing down and this accumulation of stress is occurring in all these phases. We need moments where we can pay back that recovery debt that we've been accruing to have some restoration for a variety of things. It could be health markers, could be just joint accumulated stress, connective tissue stress. So there's absolutely going to be times of recovery, times with health restoration, then times to push into growth. So it's, when do we take those, set those phases and make the most out of them? And when should we not be? And I think what we see happen across a prep probably sets the stage of what should the goals be after a prep, right? So, you know, the main issues across this entire prep, and if we look at, like, the natural athlete, because I like looking at natural athletes because it kind of removes the drug component, and there's still some crossover either way for a lot of things we experience in prep, which we have just, for one, I dropped in metabolic rate across a prep, like right when you start dieting, thyroid hormones dropping off, leptin levels are declining. We see this lowering of metabolic rate. So it just takes more to make the same deficit occur for fat loss. Now in the enhanced community, yeah, we're replacing thyroid hormone. Maybe we're using a bit of fat burners. So we kind of offset a little bit of that. Now for both natties and enhanced, sleep can suck on prep. Let's be honest. My sleep sucks right now. I'm like three weeks out, and I am just, I just know I'm not ever fully recovered because of that. It's, I wake up mid sleep, toss and turn, get night sweats, I get chills, and you know, then my brain starts racing. So that is never going to be an optimal time for growth. And that happens until you just have to be restored to a body fat set point. Then also through that, because recovery capacity has declined, we have increase in training, right? More cardio, more steps. We're having to keep a higher enough training volume despite our, you know, decompensation and recovery capacity, that there is an accumulation of systemic and local fatigue that is occurring. So systemically, like in the entire body, you have a fatigue that's rising. Cortisol levels could be climbing. Even if you're using all the drugs in the world, like, this stuff is still happening. Connective tissue. Like, I got some tennis elbow that's just not going away because I have to keep training. You might have beat up knees from posing or hips, things that are just accumulating along the way. Then for the natural, like, continued hormone disruption across a variety of things. We see lower testosterone levels in males and females, loss of the menstrual cycle, which we know estradiol, progesterone has its roles in anabolic processes. So that's dropping off for naturals, but enhanced, hey, we can replace those items. Then we also see the psychological issues of just someone getting more food focused, losses of motivation, likely do a lot around fatigue. And then that could even think about the post-show period of starting to develop a lack of direction once that contest season one ends. And so we're left in this state at the end of a prep where you have someone that has hormone disruption that's occurring, sleep is deranged, you have some psychologically that could be in a place where they're ready to just eat, potentially binge eat, without lack of direction and focus. And you could have this systemic and localized fatigue that's been accumulating all across prep, and we need that restoration to happen. Now, there's different stages around this, but I think that environment of a prep is what you're trying to say now post-show, we're going to be the optimal situation to grow. Most of that's not optimal. If we have accumulated fatigue, joint issues, if you have sleep disruption that occurring, being highly food focused, it might not be terrible, but also that could drive a ton of fat gain too. So goals post show, this is what this is all about, and how to choose your direction of what you should do. Mm. We're going to get into like post show blasting versus what the hell's a potentiation phase. But what should the goals be then, Luke, post show?
Yeah, I think if you just take that list, right, and you kind of outline what's going to be the rate limiters for someone's progress over an off-season push phase, whether that's like immediately post-show or later post-potentiation phase, the goal set needs to be getting to someone to where they're responsive. And by responsive, that's going to be a state of much lower fatigue, because just because you did a show doesn't mean that the 22, 24, 26 weeks of dieting is just poof gone, right? Like, just like it took time to accrue that fatigue getting in the prep, it's going to take time to dissipate that fatigue off the back end. And then also too, from a body fat set point perspective, we have data that shows like the ability to accrue tissue in this extremely like lean state is not going to be very likely. Now, we're going to see large improvements in subjective metrics. We're going to feel a lot fuller because we have carbohydrates and sodium, and we're going to have much more like replenished state from like a carbohydrate perspective. Pumps are going to be way better in the gym. So we're going to feel like we're just getting massive. But in reality, it's just we're taking steps in those subjective metrics that are allowing us to get further and further away from the adaptations that we've built up across prep. So when we set goals, big ones that I look for are going to be one, lowered food focus. That's going to be a large one for me, because what I see with the lack of direction post show is that large food focus drives stress for the individual and actually can end up leading them into lack of recovery capacity. Secondarily would be complete redesign of the program and like movements being reset, because if you try to pick back up where you were from a performance standpoint, kind of heading into the show, it's that state of high fatigue is going to be very highly likely to put you in an injury state. Or I've even seen it where someone has like small legs on stage, they get off stage, or like the first session I'm doing back is legs, and then they end up with rhabdo for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, right? I've seen that happen. Nick, you know I'm talking about you, so let's just like put that out there right now. And that's the thing. It's like you're not in a place to adapt to training stimulus where it leads to further hypertrophy. The goal set needs to be getting us to a place of being responsive, and a lot of that comes with how you're subjectively feeling and how you're responding to food variables and how you're responding to the training stimulus from a recovery capacity standpoint.
Yeah, it's basically sum it up. We're trying to return to a place of productive growth. Mm. And that transcends across naturals and enhanced, right? Now, for naturals, like you were mentioning, I think that paper, it's Trexler 2017.
Yes.
They monitored bodybuilders across a prep, looking at hormone profiles and also lean mass and fat mass. They looked at them 1 week post-show, then I think 3 weeks, and then I think it was maybe 6 weeks post-show. And for these naturals, the first block post-show, there was an increase in lean mass, but it was likely just glycogen being restored. But after that first initial point, there was no lean mass gain. until body fat was restored to pre-prep levels. Because likely it's all the hormone disarrangement that's occurring that needs to be restored. But also there's just this greater propensity of calories to be transitioned into body fat over muscle. So really you're at the most ideal time to gain body fat over muscle tissue. And I think you're right, Luke, like it does get skewed when you walk in the gym and you have like incredible pumps and you're like, how could this not be growth promoting? And maybe you very well could, not to write off anything that you might gain a little bit of tissue back. Like for sure that for a natural that was lost on prep, maybe for the enhanced athlete, we don't have the hormone situation to restore because you're putting in the hormones. But if we have a natural athlete that also has the sleep disarrangement, a higher propensity for injury as well, you're still not fully hormone restored, even though you're replacing a few of these hormones, right? You still have leptin levels that need to come back that still need to fully restore like overall metabolic function and health. You might have GI disarrangements as GI systems. You know how it is. You start getting constipated on prep, like things aren't moving as fully. So you're still not fully back to a state of productive growth, but I will say that probably does happen a lot faster than it would for the natural athlete. And then for someone that's enhanced too, like post-show, we need to consider that, hey, there could be, you know, drug use that happened across 20 plus weeks or more, depending on how many shows you did. That is an accumulative stress within itself, especially on the tail end of prep for a bodybuilder. You have sometimes some of these guys using multiple orals, AI, SERMs, where you could absolutely skew health markers. So going into post-show, we're looking at that athlete, and this has to just come down to assessing the needs of the individual, because everyone going into prep is going to be in a different situation, right? And so that's kind of really dictating how we should guide the post-show period and what it's going to look like for the individual. So it's not just a one size fit all. This is what everybody should do, because everyone is coming from a different place. And that's how we should be addressing post show. Now, a few things along the way is, well, I think for the natural, like the anabolic rebound doesn't necessarily exist.
I don't think it does. Unless you're switching, then we might have a conversation.
For the enhanced athlete, you know, just anecdotally, you can't deny that guys are absolutely growing post-show. However, it's, you know, what is that? You have to look at the long-term vision, because I've done the post-show blast, and I made substantial progress, and I think everybody kind of gets one of those where, I'll be honest, it was like a new level of gear that I had utilized, and most of my progress for that entire season was the first 8 weeks post show. And you're like, wow, well, we should all be doing that. I could never, ever recreate something like that again, even though I tried. And the rest of my off season, which was a year long, the progress was just fairly minimal, honestly. And you took most of your gains off the front end. And then I was kind of left off the tail end of that post show phase, seeing fullness dissipate. So you're dropping off. Also pushing food that hard off the front end, there was less insulin sensitivity. So now that same food amount, it's driving more partition towards fat. So I have to have a health phase, because now off of a 30-week prep, I had another 8 weeks of pushing gear up, 38 weeks of being on. So now you have to pull back just to restore some health markers. So during this time phase of low gear, lower insulin sensitivity, and seeing fullness dissipate, you end up being this kind of a little bit flatter, softer version of yourself with poor health markers. So there's a better way to do it, to not take all your progress right off the back end of a prep, because you can slowly taper this up to where 8 weeks later, then you can turn it on and continue having like fun strides throughout 30, 40 weeks of off season. So there's a way that we could set this up and consider it. So could you make progress post show with increased enhancements? Like
absolutely.
Like it could be done. Do I think it's ideal? I don't, for a few reasons.
Yeah, I think you got to look at the health detriment that potentially comes alongside that. It's not only the fact that you're running compounds across the entirety of the prep, but the lard or the quick accumulation of fluid from like an organ stress perspective of like how that's going to that, because that rebound like across the 8 weeks, I imagine your rate of gain from a pounds perspective was 3, 4, 5 pounds per week probably.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I weighed in at 176 and I think I cut off that phase at 215. So yeah. It was like 30 pounds across
8 weeks.
You know, 8 weeks, which was like, I had like ankle edema, throughout a lot of that.
And yeah.
I was still pretty conditioned, but I couldn't even imagine what my like blood pressure was during that time period. Right.
Yeah.
With that much change in fluid. Cause you're coming off, you're just really setting the stage for massive water retention. Like you cut water, there's diuretics there.
Yep.
So you have all these hormones like aldosterone kicking up. So it's all ready to go to just hold on to all the water you take in. But instead you go out to eat pizza first. So you have like high sodium or sushi, right? Then you bring fluid back in and then you're just a sponge. But what else are you going to do? Well, we're going to add back in like test and growth hormone and all these things that also drive up water retention. Then you're just like swollen, right? But the pumps are amazing. But also that's all, yeah, like you're right. Like stress on the heart, stress on the kidneys.
Just so fast.
It's just such a rapid, fast gain. And you see a lot of electrolyte abnormalities in these. If you actually were to pull labs post-show, where we see dangerous things happen. I think it's probably one of the most dangerous aspects of peak week is that immediate post-show phase where we see rapid electrolyte disturbances and large fluid volume increases. So we've seen guys have like, you know, heart attacks even post show just from this very issue. So I think there's a better way to manage the PD side.
Yeah, for sure.
Nutritionally and, mentally, that's kind of its other conversation, but
yeah, definitely.
I think around PDs, like the rapid fluid accumulation would be one of the more concerning aspects. But that kind of gets down to like, well, what if you didn't do those things, right? You didn't cut water, you're not using diuretics. You could still bring back like some degree of hormone, right?
Yeah.
And manage it. And like, yeah, some people can manage that very, very well. So if you have that person that's going out to binge, it's like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't like throw like growth hormone, all these things like on top of that it right away.
Yeah, I think the contest prep sets the stage contextually for what needs to happen post show, because the more extreme that last period of time heading into the show is, the more conservative that post show phase needs to be, in my opinion, because it's even further, like, especially with people who, and I've had this happen before where you find out estradiol's high back end of prep, you don't have enough time to make PD changes to, kind of control that via the stack design rather than AI deployment or CIRM deployment. And you're using AI CIRMs off the back end of that. And then you're kind of going to that post show phase. It's like, you don't want to rip that person back up compound load wise, drop out the AI thinking that you're fine. And then that you're just adding another component on top of the growth hormone and the test coming back in and all this other stuff. So it's, for me, it's that post show phase and what we're taking off the back end of it is largely contextually dependent about what happens leading into the show and the drug use across prep. Like, I've had first timers like a couple years back where that first prep with compounds was so mild that we don't even really see health derangement get that far off, where I'd be contextually willing to kind of push it a little bit sooner rather than waiting 7, 8, 9 weeks for that person, because the first timer's compound load is going to be much less than the 4, 5, 6 show type of a person who's doing a national show or a pro show or whatever that may look like. And that's going to lead you kind of down the path of how long does this person actually need to recover from prep to be able to be responsive as well.
And even with that newer person too, they're likely not to a condition point.
Yes.
Where they're absolutely so far from their set point to get back to, right? So, and it's kind of division specific in almost in a sense, more for females, but for males, like, we're basically all trying to get skinned out lean. Most people aren't getting skinned out lean. So post show, they're not seeing such terrible derangement. Now their perception of that and how the stress accumulates in the body, it very well could be even worse than someone that's, you know, more seasoned and getting skinned out lean. But likely you might have someone like, from a restoration point 4 weeks in post show, and they're like, I feel great. And those are the things I'm usually asking my, you know, athletes along the way, like, how is hunger signaling going in food focus? You know, how is sleep? Do you feel like you're waking up feeling rested and energy? Does libido feel restored to like your all time best? How is gym performance going? Like, these questions are starting to prompt of, are they getting back to that fully restored point? And it varies. Some people are there quicker than others. Some people it takes a little bit longer. So where they're coming from a body fat standpoint and, and how suppressed they are would dictate some of that. And so I think the other situation I see being a more on the extreme side of you have your beginner, right? But you might have someone that's very advanced that knows how to manage all these variables extremely well. That also is a career level bodybuilder that is, you know, Olympia level, let's say. And maybe they have 8 weeks between shows.
Juice is worth the squeeze and, at that point.
And they're willing to accept that risk. So we could push that post show more than what we would do with someone that is a beginner that's still trying to figure it all out, that don't, you know, why put all this organ stress and health derangement with someone where they might not even make it all the way to that top level. But when you're at the top level, that's where you can make those calls. So that might be the situation where there is a more aggressive post-show gear implementation to drive progress into that next show. But again, it's context dependent on the individual and what they deem as their risk and what they're okay with. The beginner doesn't know that risk yet.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know a proper assessment of that risk. And as a coach, it's a responsibility to be able to protect them a bit from it. I realize coaching that you want to put up your 1 year transformation of what you did with an athlete and, oh my gosh, they have 30 pounds of stage weight and then everyone wants the same result from you. I understand that, but I think, you know, take the long route and explain yourself of why we do the things the way that we do and don't feel the pressure as a coach to just sacrifice some health of an earlier on athlete for your own career's sake. But yeah, I think that's the other extreme that you have. Someone that it's okay to accept that risk. And another consideration point I bring up, Luke, is the Olympia schedule for a pro.
Oh man.
It's a pretty short season to make progress in. So I'll be honest, the reality of it is a lot of these pros are trying to make substantial gain. They are probably have 6-7 weeks post show where gear is kind of moderate, or maybe it is tapered down. They run a 16-week, probably hard off season push. Maybe they come down for 6 weeks, then it's right into prep. So essentially no one's coming off even down to a physiological normal level.
No.
That's not everybody though, because there are guys that still pull it down. Those are like genetic freaks, but a lot of guys, they're pushing it kind of year round. But I wouldn't want to model that framework off for everybody else, because the earlier on athlete should just be taking longer off seasons to put substantial size on. And we've seen that happen with some newer pros. I was kind of became a fan of Jordan Hutchinson. He did Texas. I believe he got
fourth
out there. Chris Tuttle coaches him. He turned pro. He took 2 years off. Came back 20 pounds heavier, which is like, man, good job. Because as a pro, you just want to jump on the pro stage and then compete year after year after year. If you want to see that level of progress, you're going to have to take a couple years off. It's not going to be off-season phases that are 20 weeks long, and then you're back on prep. Like, that's not going to make a ton of progress unless you're willing to accept just a ton of risks that you have to decide for yourself as an individual if that's okay with you. But anyway, I guess reel it back in. What other situations we might have, right?
Yeah, I think you have your standard one that we've discussed. I think the one kind of oddball one that we could potentially bring up that, I mean, I have one right now, so I'm going to bring it up, is the natural switching over into compound usage. So like, they competed naturally, they ran a prep naturally, they did their show, and then it was like the last natural show they wanted to do, and then they kind of want to go into the PED realm. I'm actually pretty quick on compound deployment here. I immediately put in a baseline testosterone just because they're going to be
low anyway.
Yeah, they're going to be low, so they need that replacement. So I'll go ahead and immediately put that in. Kind of pull labs after four to five weeks to kind of see where they're trending. And then from there, it's just context dependent on how lean they got and kind of where the subjective metrics are. In the case that I'm running right now, dude got skinned, like just absolutely just shredded for a natural. So, I mean, he's kind of feeling the back end effects of that, but I'll probably start titrating compounds in at around the 6 week mark because he's handling this post show phase like a champion. Like he's been bodybuilding for 10 years. It's literally just another year of dieting and growing. It's just, he decided to do a show this time around. So, it's been an interesting one. I think it's one that's kind of changed my dynamic of like you said, the needs analysis of every case is going to be very different because plugged it in immediately off the back end. He's starting to feel quite a bit better already. Psychologically, you know, like from being a natural and prepping naturally versus like having a little bit of help, even if it's baseline therapy, like that can be a large subjective shift for someone. So I think it's an interesting case where potentially because he's managing it so well, you'll see that compound implementation come in pretty quickly.
Yeah. And then I guess then you have like the middle ground.
Yeah.
Of where everybody else might fall in, how should you really handle the post-show phase? And, you know, we have a whole post-show module, so we can't cover it all in the podcast, but essentially there's a middle ground that I like to operate in. And why we call it a post-show potentiation phase is because we're trying to set this up to move you and gain more potential of what you can do in the off season. And except the other way, if you blast really hard post-show, it's not potentiating anything. If anything, you're having to pull back so hard to undo everything that you just did with health derangement and still accumulating joint connective tissue stress. So this phase, ideally, is to remedy all the prep issues that did occur, get you back to the state of growth, and also still make some progress and titrate that up. Because if you think post-show, training's phenomenal. Training and food are going to be your main drivers for progress in this phase. With a little bit of PDs, you'll make so much progress. And then as progress slows down, we reach that end of the post-show phase, let's start increasing gear. It's like a stair-step climb that just continually moves. Why would you want to jump up to the mountaintop, then have to scale back down to then move back up? Psychologically, that really sucks to do it that way. So this way is like, hey, stair-step up and keep making progress. And so a few things that I think align well with how a lot of people go about it post-show is, for one, the metabolic issues around rapid fat gain that do occur. So keeping a degree of thyroid hormone present, because we're not really going to see thyroid levels restore until you're getting back some substantial amount of body fat. So having not cutting thyroid hormone off cold turkey would make a lot of sense. Depending on the degree of lipolytics in place, like if you're using clenbuterol and caffeine, those things I usually keep in and just slowly taper them down. For one, for the energy component, so someone doesn't get really lethargic and end up decreasing output. And then that just further is problematic upon the higher food intakes. It also keeps people like putting cardio in place and having the energy to go and do that. So those are some components that might be tapered down if they weren't already done.
Yeah.
Then around the actual PED side, I like to see people run less than 500 mgs of total anabolics throughout this entire phase.
I agree.
And that, if you're someone that, hey, I want to start on that higher end and you're more risk adverse and you're a bodybuilder that's been exposed to that amount, I think that would be fine. But it shouldn't be also like if you're a newer person and your peak dosage lasts off season to 500 milligram, that's not what you should be doing here. So, you know, you think about it as well that post-show, you are probably, for a lot of bodybuilders, running 1 gram to 3 grams of gear total per week. stopping those, there's some longer esters in there that are going to be trailing off over time. So even your first week's post-show, and I know a lot of guys might be using a short ester, so a lot of those are out pretty quickly. But even those first few weeks, like, you absolutely are still going to be super physiological for a lot of guys. Now, again, guys, take the context there of, like, depends on what was being run and what was cut when. So you have to think about all those aspects. When being really lean, I think growth hormone has a very good advantage to also keep the anabolics lower, which have the most health detriment. Uh-huh. So some level of growth hormone could come back in, because a lot of times that's already been come out. But I would say coming to some amount where 300 to 500 milligrams of total anabolics could be in place, and that might be just written out. That could be your cruise dosage, or for a lot of guys, this might be dropping down fully to TRT. Then maybe the last few weeks you bump up. If you're seeing that body fat start to come on a little faster, you escalate that up to the next stage. That would still be health restorative. So that's the data set that you do need, is you need to be able to know that by the end of this phase, you need to restore health still. So that's kind of some framework around how you would go about it. But essentially, post-show, the first few weeks, you could have your lowest dosage of the entire year being run, because food and training could be such a great driver for progress. And then scale that up a little bit towards the later part of the phase. That's still health restorative, and you pull labs, and if you're good, then that might start your off-season phase. I would say that it should be some type of maintenance phase in there that could occur. So I would say that would be the guy where, hey, you're running 300 to 500 migs post show, bring that down to maintenance and hold there, hold body weight steady just before you move into your off season phase. So it's just not this continued accumulation of stress. Like, we still need the idea of dropping off training stress and all those components. So, you know, for a lot of guys, where we drop that stress off training wise will depend. Some people are real beat up post show, and that would have to happen right off the back end of prep, where we're training less or moving rep ranges. For some people, the peak week itself is such a deload. Some guys are highly motivated, that feel super fresh post show. That's okay. We just have to make sure we structure training in a safe way that allows them to train hard, moving into higher rep ranges, doing slow eccentrics, pauses, things to keep load in check. And that's the guy where we might have them, you know, to where that's going to be such a driver in progress that they won't need a lot of gear present. But I don't know, in general, that's kind of how I would go about it. Now, how that compares to the blast is usually like, hey, week one, it's like, you know, if you're using 3 grams, now you're using a gram. And that might taper down, or it just stays the same all the way to the end of the 8 week period. I think that's where that's a bit more of the extreme side that doesn't need to be done, consideration for the long duration of competing years ahead.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it.
Was that clear? Was that clear as mud, Luke, or did that make sense?
No, that absolutely made sense. I think there's two add-ons I would put here. Just to kind of help with contextually understanding where you're at as an athlete. The first one would be, just as we stated multiple times, is you're extremely sensitive to stimuli in this portion. This goes across every single stimulus that you're inputting, whether that be drugs, whether that be food, whether that be training. So I see it a very valuable piece of the back end of this potentiation phase, whatever you want to call it, including a deload that's a smidge longer to set up the off-season phase kind of headed into that push, which could be done alongside the maintenance phase that you mentioned on the back end, because it kind of sets them up to be able to string along a longer duration of training throughout the super physiological implementation of that first off-season push. People tend to think, oh, I've done this before. I was training XYZ during prep, or I was training XYZ last off-season. I'll be fine to just do this now. And you got to realize, like, it takes a lot less to create a lot more in this phase. So, like, we need to be able to, one, set volume low enough where they can adapt, but two, understand fatigue is probably going to hit you a bit quicker. We need to rip that off before you go into that next phase. And then the last piece is just the national level athlete, the person who competes every year, they've just missed their pro card a couple times, and they kind of want to continue that into the pro ranks. Potentially this may even be the athlete where, because they're running that national show every year dynamic, trying to get their pro card, they justify the compound usage of the pro at the Olympia level. Understand that what all you're doing is pushing back your pro debut. So whether you win your pro card the following year or whether you win the pro card in 2 years and you're just actually that much better of an athlete, if you were to take the time to actually improve and get there in 2 years' time rather than just hitting all these shows and bringing a semi-similar package and or taking a extremely high risk in order to bring something that's improved, you would probably see the long-term outcome of your career have a higher ceiling because you're trying to take the extremely high-risk approach at a point in your career where you shouldn't be close to the ceiling. And so it could really leave someone not seeing their full potential, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I know those. I've seen it all the time, people chasing down the pro card show after show after show, and you do need to know when to pump the brakes, because I know when you're so close, you just want to take the next show. But, man, it might take you out for the whole year, because if you're not showing up, undeniable, I look like a pro, you're not going to be able to hang with the pros when you turn pro and you have your rookie year. So that's going to be another offseason. So why don't you set it up to where, hey, you take a strike. If it doesn't happen, grow and show up undeniable. And then you could jump into having a pro debut relatively quickly. I think it's tough with the current, you know, social media culture that everything needs to happen right away and there's no delay gratification anymore. But for how this used to be is that we knew this was a long-term endeavor. And once you jump into the pro ranks, like, you start all over again, you know, you have to work your way up. So to think like, man, once I get, all I need is the pro card. Well, what do you do after the pro card? You're going to still keep competing, right? So you need to make consideration around that too. And they give out so many pro cards now. So it's kind of lost a bit of the allure of like, oh, wow, I'm a pro now. And not to take anything away, but it just used to feel like it had a bit of a different meaning to where I wouldn't chase it down with such severe health detriment and try to look at the big picture of years of competing ahead. Now, this is 37-year-old John talking versus 27-year-old John. So your perspective changes a bit.
28-year-old Luke said the same thing, so we can...
There you go. Luke was wise enough to help. No, Luke come to his own conclusions. But anyway, I think we'll wrap it up there. I mean,
that's good.
Yeah, that was comprehensive. I mean, again, guys, it's all about a needs analysis of where someone's ending their prep, where they're at in their stage of their career, and what do you need to address in the post-show period. And that kind of dictates what we're going to be doing along for the need and along with the risk. So you're going to see a lot of approaches out there about, like, you know, blast post-show or no, complete health recovery phase post-show only. And it's really like in the coaching world, you shouldn't have these like always and never statements. It's a lot of sometimes, and it's really individual dependent. But as a coach, you need to understand all these other different viewpoints of why they're getting applied and take what you need and use them as tools to apply within each individual that you're coaching and come up with the protocol that they should be doing, not the protocol that's been handed to you that you just give out to everyone else. Mm-hmm. So that we're here trying to teach frameworks of thought to help you create those decisions and come up with the answers for coaching and not just give you like, this is the J3U protocol for post show, take XYZ, and that's the best way. It's not going to be the best way for everyone, especially once you've been coaching so many years that you see all the variations and the gray area between the black and white that we really do live in coaching. So anyway, if you have questions on this topic, leave them down below. Mm-hmm. Something wasn't clear, Luke and I can answer it. But until next time, talk to you then, and thank you for tuning in.